I learned how to play Proto Man's theme song on the piano today.
Was it a transcendent experience for
you? No, it was fun, though. What does that mean? What am I supposed to transcend to? The guy who knows how to play Proto Man?
Yes, it's just like leveling up.
I transcend it to that, I guess. Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, the last one in which AJ will be in his 20s.
Oh, God.
This is Mike Manoia, joined by my elderly brother, Rajguy. it's February 20th, 2014. So,
just call me Cranky Kong.
God. I can go through a rant there.
I liked your point. We'll get to that. I want to talk about that.
Let's talk about it now.
Okay, before the breakdown?
Well, okay, here's what we're going to talk about. Apparently Cranky Kong. Yeah. But Irrational Games is the big news with Ken Levine and all that. Mm-hmm. There's lots to talk about there, which is good, because we haven't really played anything new. So there's not a whole lot to talk about there. But there's all this stuff is coming out now. Like, is the PlayStation 4 better than the Xbox One, technically? Who knows? according to some game specs. But so we have that to talk about, a couple things from the community. And, you know, a couple other things. But, yeah, that'll be the show. It's going to be largely Irrational Games. But the title is, they're kind of doing this fun thing where, like, Cranky Kong has taken over their Twitter account.
Oh, really? I didn't know this.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And they're, like, sending out these tweets where, like, he's, like, responding to people. And I'm like, you know, as someone who reviewed Tropical Freeze, I'm like, this is far more Cranky Kong humor than is actually in Tropical Freeze.
Yeah, cool. That was your point in the review, that I liked this. Cranky Kong's character was just gone in that game. Well, he wasn't muted. Cranky.
Because he's just another silent protagonist now. And it kind of destroys the point. Like, everyone likes Cranky Kong because he talks and is like, you know.
This curmudgeon.
Yeah, he's like, it's funny because he's like everyone's grandpa, you know. He's like, back in my day, video games were hard and cool. You know, it's like, yeah, haha. Now he's just, you know, he's there. Mm-hmm. You play as him, he doesn't say anything. So it's like, what's the point?
Right.
I mean, it's like if Wheatley was a character in Portal 3, but I never talked. Like, who cares then? I don't know. I got some fanboys angry at my 70 score for Donkey Kong. I thought it was very just. The one weird thing to me, like, I knew that some people would like it fine. The one weird thing is, like, a lot of other reviews are, like, singling out the boss fights as, like, this, like, great part of the game.
Yeah, you hated
them. I hated the boss fights. They were all so freaking long. Like, each boss fight was, like, the final boss fight in any other game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was multiple stages to it. It was just it's the same thing. It's just the patterns. And you would always get the first, like, two-thirds of the boss fight pretty easy, and then you just die at the end, so you had to spend another 15 minutes doing those first two parts, like, Jesus Christ. Just got really tedious. So, I don't know. I don't like Donkey Kong Country as much as others, but I never have liked Donkey Kong Country as much as others, so maybe that's why, I don't know.
Why'd you rate the review?
Oh, yeah, you should only write reviews for games you like, I guess.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's talk about Irrational Games, because this thing's been, this is weird.
So, basically, I'm confused. Is, like, Irrational
it
gone,
like, the name
or is it
exists.
Still going
well,
to be Irrational?
So Ken Levine said that he's Irrational Games as we know it will no longer exist.
Yeah.
He's turning it into a very small studio that's going to stay at Ubisoft.
No, but, Take-Two.
Take-Two, I'm sorry, I don't want to say it. At Take-Two, but most of the staff is gone.
15 people remaining.
Right.
They used to have, like, I think 200.
But, like, the weird thing about it is, from the way he says it, and from the fact that he at no point defends himself from this, it doesn't sound like Take-Two fired these people. It sounds like Ken Levine fired these people.
Yeah, it sounds like I mean,
it sounds like Ken Levine didn't want to make AAA games anymore.
Which is fine.
So, and instead of, you know, which a lot of people have done. Cliffy B's done it.
Warren Spector.
A lot of people have done it. And what these, well, Warren Spector Studios.
Peter Molyneux.
Yeah, Peter Molyneux is the other good example. So what these people did is they just left their studio, and the studio's still intact, still making games. What Ken Levine does is he literally just downsized the studio until it was kind of like where he wanted it.
Yeah, I haven't heard an explanation or some kind of theory on why Ken just didn't say, you know what, you guys stay here, make the next BioShock, because you know
take,
there's going to be
gonna
one.
I'm going to take these 10 people
yeah,
with
if,
me.
Yeah, if anyone wants to, like, you know, you guys, I like you, if you guys want to go with me, I'm going to go down the street and open up an indie shop. And he, like, you know, part of it was that Take-Two still wanted him. I'm sure if he would have started the new studio, Take-Two would have said, like, yeah, sure, we'll publish your game.
Right, well...
I don't understand why 200 people had to lose their jobs so Ken Levine can make the game.
Yeah, and that's, like, kind of the question. And it's weird, because, like, on Twitter and stuff, he's like, oh, man, yeah, there's this great movement to help the people who are let go find new jobs. That's awesome. I'm like, well, you fired them!
Yeah.
Didn't you, or did you not? Like, everyone's like, maybe there's something else going on here. I'm like, there's only two things that could have happened. One, Ken Levine fire everybody, or two... Take-Two fire everybody, and then Ken Levine kind of sat in their lap, say, I get to stay, right? Didn't seem to stick up for his team. I don't know. It's weird either way. I don't understand it.
The only, like, maybe, because we don't know. We'll probably never know. Like, maybe Take-Two had a meeting, and they said, look, BioShock Infinite, it sold okay, but it took you
copies.
A long-ass time to make. We put a lot of money into it. You, like, rebooted it three times. This can't happen. Like, we're going to have to downsize your studio. And then Ken's, you know, said, like, well, okay, fine. Like, let's work this out so we keep these 15 people and we'll keep making games here. And, yeah, like, I understand or something. Because, like, Take-Two still owns BioShock. There will be another BioShock game.
It's weird and it's disillusioning in a lot of ways. Because you always think, like, well... Irrational Games, they're like, well, you know, everyone probably wants to work for them. And
well, that's the thing,
and
too.
And you think, like, maybe it wasn't that great working there.
Think about, over the last years, there have been a lot of stories of high-profile developers, designers, who went to Irrational, and 3 or 4 months later left.
Yeah, a lot of big
people. It happened. I can't remember specifics, but there was, like...
Lee Alexander wrote a pretty big story about it. It was about how pretty much nobody... who worked on BioShock 1 was still at Irrational by the time Infinite came out. And you say, well, why is that? And you kind of think, maybe people don't like working with Ken Levine.
I don't think it's that he's a jerk to work with. No. It just sounds like he can't say at the pre-production phase, here's the design document, we're sticking to it.
Right.
Which is why I think this smaller type of game will suit him,
because
it's more fluid. And,
you know... I'm kind of turning things now to talk about BioShock Infinite, but you can kind of... BioShock Infinite is a game that leaves a very good impression while you're playing it and immediately after, and then, like, the more you think about it, like, when, like, kind of, like, the thrill of the combat's gone, and you just kind of think about what the game was trying to say, you're like, huh? Well, because it seems very schizophrenic, because it starts off as this, like, it's going to be...
Social commentary.
It's going to be the social commentary and patriotism and stuff, just like how BioShock... One was a social, and then it just kind of gets batshit crazy with all of this parallel universe stuff and constants and variables. And you're, you know, at first, like, oh, that's cool. Like, wow, I can't even understand it. And then, like, what you do understand, you're like, well, what's the point of that? Why was that done?
They're both kind of cool on their own.
But, like, why?
But, like, yeah, I know what you mean.
It just seems weird, and it kind of seems...
And the other problem this isn't necessarily about BioShock Infinite, but we'll bring it up. What killed a lot of the excitement for BioShock Infinite for me was all the stuff they released before the game came out was really different, and I liked where a lot of that was going, and that all went away.
Yeah.
Like, remember, originally, the whole morality system of Infinite was supposed to be how much do you use Elizabeth's powers.
Right, because it was supposed to drain her or something. It would, like, hurt her.
And that sounded cool. That's completely gone. Then there was that infamous scene with the dead horse and the tear into the 80s and everything. Mm. And it was supposed to be how, like, Elizabeth didn't really have control of her abilities. Well, that was all gone. She had full control of the abilities.
Yeah, the tears really became just the battle mechanic.
Yeah, that's all they were. So, again, you have to ask yourself, like, why did it change so much so often? Why couldn't he just figure it all out in advance and stick to it? Like, again, I think this is a good move for Ken Levine, man. This is where he needs to be. He needs to be in a small studio that can react.
But I don't understand. But I don't get... It's not like just because he's in a small studio, all of a sudden he's going to be super focused now.
No. I'm not saying he's going
to
be focused.
But it's just like it won't be a $10 million decision if he wants to completely redo the game.
Exactly.
I guess. You know,
but if he's working on smaller games with fewer people, yeah, you can make changes like that and not take another year and a half on your project.
That's kind of the other thing. And we're kind of before all of these... big marquee names are leaving AAA game development. Like, all of them are gone from it. Like, who's left anymore? Because now Ken Levine's gone from it. Warren Spector's not doing anything. Peter Molyneux, Cliffy B. Like, who's even still around doing this shit? Like, Shiggy, because he just, like, works for Nintendo. But, I mean, the Japanese thing is even very different still. It's just bizarre. And I've always said I've never... with maybe the exception of Miyamoto, I've never liked these...
names,
yeah, because
no American McGee
I feel
for
like,
you.
Yeah, I feel like they're only names because like we have to have our people who are gonna like give our keynote speeches and give lectures, and I still, you know, it's like why do we know the name of, you know, Cliff Lubinsky, but I couldn't tell you who directed Uncharted 2, one of my favorite games. Is that guy better than him? I don't know.
Right.
It's just the personality, you know? And I feel like part of it is the industry itself kind of demands that we have personalities like you do in Hollywood, you know?
Right.
To make it more like that. But we don't really know what to do with them.
Right.
Because most of the time they're busy making one game for 4 years, and they can't, like, you know, there's no set visit. Go in the studio, like, don't look at anything, because we're going to be making this for the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. But
the thing that's most telling and kind of sad about the whole thing to me, that makes me think that this is in no way some happy little thing at all, it was, like, right after this happened, Sean Elliott, who everyone knows from GFW Radio, who, you know, moved to Boston to work on Infinite, was, like, eBaying Irrational Games memorabilia to, like, because he needed the money. You're like, ooh.
How badly does he need? Yeah, it's,
I mean, he's finding out he's having a kid, I guess, but, like, you know, he had, like one of the, like, replica Vickers.
Right.
He's, like, eBaying it. You're like, really?
Well, that's, you're not seeing a lot of ex-Irrational gameplays coming out in defense of Ken Levine.
Yeah, and again, there's a lot of NDAs.
You don't see Ken Levine defending himself either. So I don't know. I hate to kind of assume the worst here, but it just the whole thing
leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, there's nothing good about it, and it kind of makes you think what was happening this whole time. I mean, I just, you know, going back to Infinite again. I like the game; it was a gorgeous game, and it was mechanically did some really cool things. But it's not going to have that impression on the industry the way Bioshock 1 did.
Right.
And the problem is that Infinite was a lot more expensive and had a lot more hype than Bioshock 1 did. I guess. Yeah, I wonder what, like, the next non-Levine Bioshock will be like.
People liked, in particular, Bioshock 2. The Minerva's Den DLC, I guess, was really good.
That's kind of the point, is, yeah, Bioshock 2 wasn't as good as Bioshock 1, but, I mean, it wasn't, like,
trying to be anything.
It wasn't terrible.
Lofty, yeah.
You know, it was still pretty good. It was Bioshock.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have to have, you know, $1 zillion put into it. I wonder how much more, like, Infinite sold than Bioshock 2.
I don't know.
That'd be kind of interesting to take a look at. So I don't. Do you think AAA game development is really as terrible as?
Well, I think
you think it's like the developers' fault themselves, or you think it's all publishers pushing them, or is the whole thing just too bloated?
The problem is everyone tried to be Call of Duty, but you can't be Call of Duty. But they had like Call of Duty sized budgets.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have a Call of Duty size budget, but then you're not Call of Duty, you lose money.
Right.
You know, that's what happens.
That's exactly what happened with, like, Tomb Raider, it seems like. Like, Tomb Raider, what? I think it sold more copies than Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, disappointed. Like, how many more copies could you...
I mean, people are like, oh, it's all these next-gen graphics and blah, blah, blah. Look, there's plenty of indie games I've seen that come out that have amazing graphics.
Right.
That's not the issue. That's part of why, when you look at Titanfall, why they're not doing a single-player campaign. Because we don't have the resources, we're not gonna compete on that level, so why bother?
Yeah.
Let's put them into the multiplayer. Same thing with Order 1866, or whatever the number is I'm screwing up.
Nah.
They don't have a multiplayer. Because their logic was like,
look,
no one's going to play this more than Call of Duty. Let's just make a really good single-player campaign.
I hope that is a trend, honestly. I hope that we do kind of have multiplayer games and single-player games.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you know? I know that, like, that was kind of like the obnoxious trend last console generation.
Everything and multiplayer, mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't need it.
You think a multiplayer and multiplayer games had single-player? Like, the only time I can think where I liked it was in the Uncharted series, where I thought, like, both were kind of different and complementary.
Yeah, but how much Uncharted multiplayer did you play?
Not, like, maybe not as much as I probably played the Titanfall beta this last, like,
exactly.
2 weeks.
Exactly.
But, I mean, yeah, right, exactly. So, who knows? Okay, is there anything else you want to say about it? I mean, like, what games does he want to... I'll tell you this much.
Narrative-driven, mature experiences.
Like, did Ken Levine, like, play Gone Home or something? And was like, oh, man.
Maybe.
Like, is that what it is?
Route Zero.
And,
Broken Age. Yeah. Who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows?
We'll see. Okay, so AJ, what system do you think is better right now? The PlayStation 4 or Xbox One?
Based on what metric?
Resolutions.
Well, I'll say PS4 because the numbers don't lie.
Well, here's the thing now, because I would bring this up before and you would say, well, that's because like with Tomb Raider, like, well, there's two separate developers working on something.
And you know, there have
been excuses. Are there any more excuses?
We're running out of excuses.
Or do you think the PlayStation 4 is just probably technically a little better?
I mean, it is true. The fact that almost every
multi-platform
game is 1080p on PS4 and something else,
like 900p or 700p. Because this kind of resurfaced again because Metal Gear Ground Zeroes. And the weird thing about Kojima himself was kind of like stabbing at this wound and almost taking delight and like making a very big point that the game just looks better on PlayStation 4.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was almost like happy about it. And he kind of went on and they posted like their big comparison video. Now,
it's 900p, right? That one?
I think that one is 720.
Okay.
I think it's,
I can't even remember.
Yeah, I know.
Anymore.
There was another one that everyone's freaking out because it's going to be 900p.
Well, Thief is 900p.
Not Thief is the one. It's 900p on Xbox One and, again, whatever. My thing, and the reason why I cared about with Tomb Raider was because that was a frame rate.
Frame rate, I can see.
Frame rate bothers me much more than resolution.
Because I'll say this, I'm a big technology guy. I work in video. Like, you know, when I walk in a room and someone's watching something on standard definition, I cry a little bit. I cannot, and I swear I'm not just saying this, cannot see the difference between 720p and 1080p unless I push my nose to the screen.
I mean, if you had them next to each other, you can probably tell.
But who does that aside from...
But my point is, if you have both systems, or if you're going to get one or the other, and why not get the one that looks a little nicer... Again, especially if it's $100 cheaper. I think that's the problem.
Oh, sure.
The fact that you pay a premium price for the Xbox One, and then it performs...
Doesn't look as good.
It performs worse than the cheaper alternative, it's kind of, you know...
Yeah, and the thing is, I wish Microsoft would say something, aside from their message of, it doesn't matter.
Well, they can't... What else can they say? They can't fix it. They can't, well, like, make a patch to make the resolution work better.
Actually, it's possible, because what I've heard... is that apparently, because, you know, the Xbox uses DirectX, basically.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the DirectX driver in the Xbox One is kind of shit.
Nice.
And then, so when I read that, it made me wonder, well, can they fix this driver so that, you know, it's not going to be retroactive, but can future games get on track here? Mm. I mean, is that possible? I have no idea. But if I'm Microsoft, at this point, with as much attention as this is getting, you've got to figure something out.
Well... Yeah, and it's just because every time now one of these things happens, it's bad press for Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if it's going to happen with every single multi-platform game, and again, I'm not saying that games aren't going to look good on Xbox One. I was just playing Titanfall a lot; it looks great.
Yeah,
Xbox One games will look great, but it's just a perception thing.
Yeah, I mean, even
it's
like
damning.
Like, you know, I guess Rise was 900p. Fuck if I knew, that game looked amazing.
It is. I will say though, it is weird to me that a system that came out in 2013 just can't run almost every game at 1080p, 60 frames per second.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when, I mean, I don't know.
Well, again, and the thing you have to remember, too, is it's all relative to how hard... This is more for single-platform games. But, you know, if you're a developer, you say, well, I could run the game at 1080p, 60 FPS, but if I really want to, like, increase, like, the fidelity of my lighting engine and have more particle effects and do this, this, and this... Then I'm going to turn it down to 930 so I can pull that stuff off.
Right.
It's give and take. I mean, you could render a cube at 1080p, 60 frames per second. Who cares?
Right, right.
But like I said, the fact that it's a third-party game on both systems, I mean, with time and engineering, if they felt it was worth it, could they overcome it? Probably. There probably is a way to figure out how to, you know, enhance your code on the Xbox One so you get it to 1080p. These studios, particularly when you read the Thief guys, sounds like to them it wasn't worth the effort. They got to 900 and said, this is good enough.
Mm.
You know, we don't need to work any more of this. Kojima, I don't know, that guy's such a troll in life. Who knows what he's thinking.
That comparison video was weird because...
Well, it focused more on last gen to next gen, which frankly, I think did a shitty job of selling the next gen, because the last gen looked pretty good aside from the frame rate issue.
That was kind of weird. Like, these last gen versions of the game look surprisingly good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I still want the next gen, but... Do you think the PlayStation 4 sales are starting to outpace the Xbox One?
Well, they are.
Sony was very happy to announce they're passing 5 million things. Did Microsoft really say anything this past month about its sales?
They did. The number was 2-1, Sony to Microsoft.
That's what I
but
heard, yeah.
They were both pretty low numbers.
Wow.
Like sub.
How can Sony's be low? They just hit 5 million ahead of projections.
They sold a shit ton during the holidays, but so did Microsoft. Microsoft is up to, like, I think 3.5 million, and Sony's, like, right around 5. The January numbers were only, like, 350 and 225 or something like that sold, or something like that. Like, 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
Frankly, this is where Microsoft starts getting worried. If after Titanfall comes out, if you don't outsell the PS4 for the month of March...
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Because Titanfall seems to be the only meaningful exclusive for quite a while. I mean,
you got Infamous 2, but look... Infamous
is cool, but I mean...
It's not gonna... You're not gonna look and be like, I gotta get a PS4 now. Right. If I haven't already.
I mean, because that's a retro... You know, who likes Infamous? People that play PlayStation 3s, which is a smaller install base than Xbox 360. I don't know if that really makes sense. But you can, yeah, it's not as exciting as this new thing that seems like the next big thing, which maybe Titanfall is, you know, maybe it is, I don't know, but there's hype.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, Infamous looks good, there's not a lot of hype.
Yeah. People are like, I'll be good.
Right. So, I mean, what is Sony's, like...
Next big exclusive? Well, the Order could
which
be big.
Which kind of had its, like, coming out party, and people seem like... They don't seem super enthusiastic about it.
Some gameplay impressions are coming out, and they're pretty positive.
Are they? Because, like, yeah. Well, see, I heard people say, though, it's like, oh, it's a very pretty third-person shooter, but it's just a third-person shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Titanfall has an effect.
Yeah, it needs to. If it doesn't, I don't know what else they can do at this point.
It'll be interesting if how the, like, Xbox One sales of that compare to the Xbox 360 sales. I wonder if they almost, like... Shouldn't have even made an Xbox 360 version. Give people no excuse.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Give people no excuse to buy for an old system, or you know, force them to upgrade.
Yeah,
make them get an Xbox One if they want to play Titanfall. Hell, don't even make a PC version if you had to. I don't know. All right.
Maybe that was a concession they had to make with EA so that they could be assured they would sell so many copies.
You know what? Maybe. I mean, I guess EA had publishing rights to it. I bet Microsoft wish they could have just published it
themselves. Yeah. If Microsoft published it, sure, maybe it would have only come out in the one. Maybe PC.
That's true.
You know what's funny though? Like all the argument about resolution and everything, but if exclusives only, I'd say the Xbox One has a stronger library right now.
Well, I think they have better games. I don't know if they graphically, it's kind of hard to say. I guess Titanfall looked better. Does Titanfall look better than Killzone? I don't know. It's weird. Forza looks great, but some PlayStation has like Need for Speed, but it's kind of different.
Right? I think Titanfall. When I was thinking about this the other day, because like it, when you compare it especially to something like Killzone, it doesn't do all the crazy things with like it doesn't have like super impressive lighting,
right?
Particle effects, but the world just feels very detailed. Like I don't see any repeating textures. Everything's very high fidelity. I think that's just kind of where they push themselves.
It's
like the Titans have a lot of moving parts to them.
You know, and it's a thing again where like maybe I don't know if we're really gonna be able. Like, let's see what Infamous looks like and running in motion, how great that does. Maybe we'll get a better idea. I will say, I don't know if I talked about it before, but I get annoyed when, like, people are talking about the next-gen systems, like, oh, I can't even believe anybody bought them. There's, like, nothing to play on them. I've been playing the next-gen systems pretty much non-stop since I've got
I've been
them.
Playing my Xbox One a lot.
Like, I don't understand, like, what...
A lot.
I mean, like, you know, there was Assassin's Creed, and then I know some games that people are like iffy on, like Knack and Rise, but they were there. They're fine. But I mean, Killzone, Forza, Need for Speed, Lego,
you can even
Marvel,
say Battlefield and Call of Duty,
Titanfall. I don't know. I've had more than enough to play.
Hey, by the way, you see they're having a Call of Duty Ghost free weekend on Steam.
Oh, really?
So I can play that. I haven't played it yet.
Yeah, I think I'm all right. All right. What have you played? Anything new?
Shit ton of Titanfall.
Yeah, it's a lot more Titanfall, which is fine. I miss it. It'll be nice to have that full game.
Yeah, it was very... Last night, me, you, and Chris played. It was the first time all three of us really got to play together, and we had a blast. Yeah,
we also very good.
I'm very happy that it is six against six now.
Yeah, because it makes a lot of sense.
You can just get a team of six together pretty easily.
Yeah, I was like, one people was like, oh, it seems like a low number to me, but it makes a lot of sense.
If it was more than that, that game would be unplayable.
If you
had, you know, more than a theoretical possible 12 Titans on the field, no.
Do you think anything about that whole Deep Down issue that happened this week?
What's that now?
The Deep Down issue?
That free-to-play RPG from Capcom?
Yeah.
No.
You don't even know what I'm talking about?
Is it like that
do
there's no women in it?
Do you follow games journalism
sometimes.
Anymore? Sometimes. I forget who, but there's a girl who wrote a story about... Apparently the game's not going to have any female protagonists.
Yeah, okay, I saw some of this. Yeah, I didn't get to look into it
much. People are kind of making a thing out of it.
Well, like, what was their reason?
Well, that doesn't serve the story, but then people kind of rightfully say, well, then change the story if you write it. But I don't know. I don't have a whole lot
to say. The story can be anything. Yeah.
What's the story? Like, they're...
Yeah, unless this game...
Girls don't exist in this universe.
Unless the game wins a Pulitzer, I'm pretty sure you could have changed the story.
Right, but...
I don't think it would win a Pulitzer. Whatever, the award... Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't have much else to talk about. Playing Titanfall, Hearthstone, the usuals.
Yep.
Community.
They did stuff. Should have had this open. I didn't realize we were through it yet. Here we are. So Jay Loretta had two thoughts on last week's Nintendo Direct. Let's get your feedback, Mike.
Okay.
Because you didn't respond to any of this.
No, I didn't see this.
All so right. First you said, even though Little Mac appearing in the new Smash Brothers is pretty cool.
Yes.
I couldn't help but be disappointed that a new Punch-Out was announced instead. Last installment, which was on the Wii, was fantastic, so I really like another one soon.
I mean, I liked Punch-Out on the Wii also. Right now, I'd rather have Little Mac in Smash Bros. I mean, yeah. I just like Smash Bros. A lot more than Punch-Out.
So this made me laugh, too, because I didn't even realize this until he pointed it out. It makes little sense to me that we were getting the Game Boy Advance port of Yoshi Island on Wii U instead of just the original SNES version. It's a head-scratcher for sure. What is Nintendo thinking here? Why would you put a port of a port?
I don't know.
When the thing does Super Nintendo emulation, they're there.
I think there were small differences. Like, the GBA port, it used, like, the Yoshi story sound effects for Yoshi. Because, like, in the Super Nintendo, he sounded probably more like...
Super Mario World.
Right, you know, like, those sound effects that are just, like, saying Yoshi a lot, doing his... You know.
Oh, so maybe they had to keep it on brand.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's all about those sound effects.
Yeah, right. All right. He talks about... The whole thing kind of devolved into a big Titanfall conversation among a lot of our listeners. Basically, everyone either really likes it or just could not care...
Well...
I
see a lot of people say, like, I don't get Titanfall, and then these people very usually, shortly afterwards, make a statement about how they don't like competitive shooters.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't like the genre shooter, this isn't going to change your mind.
Right, you know, and I mean, like, I've been saying, like, you know, I've been sick of Call of Duty, but I've been sick of Call of Duty because it's literally doing the same thing. It's not because I don't like competitive shooters.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't played one in a while because they've all basically been like Call of Duty, but this is very different to me. Yeah, but then,
you play this beta for 10 hours over a weekend.
And I mean, I want to say, when I say it's very different, you still have a loadout and you have guns and, you know, it's a team deathmatch thing, sure. But there's a lot more kind of going on.
Yeah, it's the verticality in the game, it's the mobility in the game.
So, like, am I surprised... For instance, you know, no offense, Pete, that Pete doesn't like Titanfall. No. It doesn't seem like it's in his wheelhouse. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's liked these kind of games.
He said he would
before.
Like another No One Lives Forever or anything with
a story. Again, that sounds exactly like what Titanfall never was going to be.
Yeah.
You know, it's not Half-Life or No One Lives Forever or System Shock. It is a competitive shooter. Which is, you know, and it's very good at being it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, if you don't like these, if you've never liked a Call... Like, not just, like, you got sick of Call of Duty. If you never liked Call of Duty, then, like, you know, you're not going to care. All right, anything else?
I don't think so. Oh, I was showing you this earlier. I just think it's real cool to bring up. Somehow someone released a Game Boy Advance emulator that works on an iPhone and iPad without jailbreaking.
Well, it's definitely a much better way to be able to play Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah. It's just neat, because when you turn it to portrait, it actually looks like a Game Boy Advance SP.
That's cool. I always forget that, like, the SP wasn't the Game Boy Advance for a while.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, too, the other day. Like, it popped in my head, like, oh, yeah, like, the original Game Boy Advance with no backlighting.
That's weird.
Yeah. Strange things.
Alrighty, well, thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast, everybody. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Go to our Google Plus community and join our conversations there. And go to the iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.